spite of all our communication technology, no invention is as effective as the sound of the human voice. When we hear the human voice, we instinctively want to listen in the hopes of understanding it, even when the speaker is searching for the right words to say. That's because the human voice resonates differently from everything else in the world. This is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast. Listen in on candid conversations with creative entrepreneurs and insanely interesting people.
Today's episode of the Unmistakable Creative is sponsored by Selz. That's SELZ.com. If you're looking for a PayPal alternative to sell digital, physical products, and services, check out Selz. Selz allows you to add your products and sell from any site in minutes without any complicated setup or hassle. And they even recently added the ability to give your customers a pay-what-you-want option. Many of the Unmistakable Creative listeners are already using Selz and absolutely love it. Our other sponsor for today's show is FreshBooks. When I started working as a freelancer, my process for invoicing clients was disorganized, manual, and messy. Then I discovered FreshBooks. I tried it once, and I was absolutely hooked. With the click of a button, I can generate an invoice and send it right to my clients without having to track a million different attachments and documents. And it allowed me to keep track of exactly how much revenue I was generating all in one place. If you're invoicing clients on a regular basis, FreshBooks saves you time and helps you get paid faster. It's kind of a no-brainer. So sign up for a free account today at getfreshbooks.com. And don't forget that they're also giving away a birthday cake every day to an Unmistakable Creative listener. So when you sign up for your free account at getfreshbooks.com, make sure you enter the word unmistakable in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you support us in the process. All right, everybody, this is Srini. Welcome to another backstage episode of the Unmistakable Creative. I am here with my co-host, Greg Hartle. What's going on, Greg?
Oh, just living the dream, man, living the dream.
Yeah.
My dream has now become I'm stabbing myself in the stomach with needles on a regular basis because my body can't reproduce red blood cells. That's part of living the dream, right?
I don't know about that, but you want to tell us what that's all about? That sounds kind of funny. Like, out of context, it's like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
Yeah, so for the listeners who are unaware, I have been experiencing challenges with my kidney transplant coming up on 10 years, actually, in a couple months, which is pretty crazy. But part of that process is my kidney cannot generate the hormone that generates red blood cells. So my red blood cell count is very low. Actually, I was asking the doctor yesterday, I said, so, you know, when is it a problem? And she's like, oh, it's well beyond a problem. And I was like, oh, okay. So she's like, yeah, you'd be in the hospital if you weren't as healthy as you are otherwise. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. So we're trying to prevent a blood transfusion. And the way I prevent a blood transfusion right now is I stab myself in the stomach with a needle and inject that hormone into my body, and hopefully that will help regenerate the red blood cells. So other than that, you know, it's fantastic, man.
Other than that, yeah, I love how you're so matter-of-fact about it. kind of fitting considering the guest that we've had earlier on the show this week. I mean, we had Alex from Supersize Me. You know, she was a co-creator, and a lot of stuff related to how we treat our bodies. And then we had America's Angriest Trainer. So a lot of stuff related to health and body here. Yeah. But before we get into like the gist of the episode, there's a couple of things we want to talk about. Some of you know possibly that we are looking to hire somebody that we want to bring to our team. And we haven't been able to find that person. And we realized we're like, well, why haven't we told our listeners? We know some of you don't follow us on Facebook. You know, some of you aren't connected to us on Twitter or wherever on the web, but a lot of you listen to us. And so we want to tell you a little bit about what we're looking for, and then we'll tell you how to apply. But Greg, you want to talk a little bit about our curator position that we want to have join our team?
Yeah, it's real simple. We're looking for somebody amazing, unmistakable, awesome, creative, cool, easy to work with, fun to get along with, you know, everyday run-of-the-mill type of person.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking to really hire is an unmistakable curator slash writer to help us write a newsletter. You know, what we've come to realize is that in the tech world, in the tech community, there's plenty of opportunity for people in the industry to stay on top of their industry in quick, easy ways. There's all sorts of publications, blogs, et cetera, dedicated to the tech industry. In the corporate world, it's the same thing. I mean, there's even television shows and television networks dedicated to keeping you up to date on the corporate world if you're a corporate executive. But in the creative world, in the world that you and I live in, we kind of all help each other out by pointing each other in the direction of each other and saying, hey, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. But there's no real curated place to know what's going on in the creative world, and not done in a easy to consume way and in a way that's fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we're hoping to create is a newsletter that people can subscribe to stay up to date on what's going on in the creative entrepreneurial world on a regular basis. And we're really looking for somebody to head up that position and take charge of it and help us grow and build a new part of our brand.
Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about it at unmistakableintern.tumblr.com. We have the entire job description there, and we have exactly what we want from people who apply. So definitely visit that. We'll also link that up in the show notes as well. We'd love to hear from you guys. I mean, you know, those of you listening know our community, know our brand. So we think that, you know, this may be the most ideal place for us to turn to find somebody who really is a strong fit for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of listeners out there that fit this description and would be fun to work with. So if that's you, check it out, unmistakableintern.tumblr.com, and hit us up.
Absolutely. Well, let's do this. So we're going to review last week's feedback. Last week's episode on the All or Nothing Internet, quite a conversation starter. I definitely think that we pissed some people off. A lot of people agreed. I think that, you know, we, in my opinion, we called out something that's happening that a lot of people don't want to acknowledge exists. So let's look at the feedback. You know, our friend Care wrote in from Alaska. Think you guys are on the right track. Especially about the all or none, not available, or the person is not literate in the all. It's amazing in Alaska where you can get what you can get in Alaska, internet services reliably. And by the way, Srini, you're a wimp. It's 80 miles per hour today with temps in the teens. And Boston and the Northeast has more snow than we do. So, I mean, you know, I think Alaska is a great example, Greg, based on your whole experience when you went there of sort of this strange distribution. I think that we think that the whole world is connected to an iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I've been plenty of places in America in the last 3 years that aren't even close. You know, they're far behind the curve, the technology curve, which is a big factor, you know, which is a big factor on this idea that, you know, anyone can just set up shop, set up the internet, and, you know, take away all the gatekeepers and do whatever they want to do and be whoever they want to be. I think that that's a bit naive mm-hmm. in that thinking.
All right. So Scott writes in, and Scott actually probably was one of the people that really, I remember he sent us a note personally. He said, I wasn't sure what it was, but something really pissed me off about that episode. And I love this because he actually disagreed with it. He said, the power of the internet driven connection economy is that it levels the playing field by allowing ordinary or non-picked people to do extraordinary things. To compare it to a middle classless third world country with a chasm that separates the haves and the have-nots is a faulty analogy. Who is to judge the haves, the successful ones? A star on the Walk of Fame takes talent and a man on the moon genius, but a blog that matters, only a sincere desire to make a difference.
That's a great line, by the way.
Yeah.
That is a great line. I have mixed feelings about this, Scott. I think extraordinary people do extraordinary things. I'm not sure about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I'll have to give that some more thought. But I agree with him on the one premise that he says, who is to judge who are the haves
yeah.
and the have-nots? That's actually a great point. Now, I was making the case in terms of the ability to generate income. But that's not everyone's measure, and by no means is that a lot of people's measures who are just creating stuff on the internet for fun or for, you know, some meaningful purpose, you know, way beyond money. So I think, you know, Scott brings up a good point in that, you know, this conversation has to be driven also by how we define what is quote unquote successful or not on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Because everybody comes to it for something different. I mean, for some people, they're completely happy lingering in obscurity and having a blog that nobody will ever read, but they get something from it.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not necessarily that no one will ever read, even because, you know, Scott also brought up, I think it was Scott, if I remember correctly, who brought up the idea of the small army, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So even if 100 people read your blog, but it's impactful to them and it's meaningful to them and it's meaningful to you that it's meaningful to them and you have a relationship with them, well, then you win, you know, then you're successful. So I think that's a good point. I think that's a very good point.
So it's funny because our debate about talent still seems to be generating a lot of comments from people. So you'll like this one. The horse has been beaten to death, but I feel like I need to be the first person to say Greg is completely right regarding focused efforts to be good at one thing. In my short career as an auditor, cloud software implementer, adventure travel agent, and digital marketer, I've seen how fun it is to dabble, yet how much the switching costs can slow you down to finding success. Thanks for the soapbox, guys. Keep up the great work. That's from Travis.
Travis, I love you.
I knew you would.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, Travis, definitely keep writing in. Love it. You always have a soapbox here. And for any of you guys listening, consider this Friday segment the listener's soapbox. You can always write into us at unmistakablecreative.com/contact. All right. We got another one here. Hi, Srini and Greg. It would be far easier to keep quiet and pretend everyone is making six figures on the internet and just tell everyone to keep working. It will happen any day now. And she said, you know, this is from Mary. She says, the people who've helped me the most are not those who excel at self-promotion or who make perfect videos. They're the people who've been through hell and lived to tell the tale. The people who inspire me are the ones who have the courage to be honest, tell their stories of struggle. The world needs healing, and what heals is the truth. The truth hardly ever makes people popular fast. There's a reason for that.
Wow. I cannot disagree. I agree with that point, Mary. And I have, you know, I always have mixed feelings on this because there's a strong part of me that wants to support people's efforts. Mm-hmm. And then there's another part of me that is constantly in the back of my mind thinking, am I being irresponsible by doing so? And I don't know where that fine line is. You know, the idea, oh, keep working, it'll happen for you any day now type of line, where there's a part of me that wants to say that to people. And then there's another part of me that I think I might be contributing to their misery by doing that. And I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I think that you've kind of shined a light on it for me. And I have to admit, I am of, you know, sort of the optimistic nature. I've always wanted to believe that anybody could put pen to paper and eventually what would come out of the other side, if they worked at it long enough, would be good. And I've sat down with our mutual friend, Willie Jackson, and he says, yeah, Srini, he said, but there's a lot of lousy stuff that has become successful just by sheer, you know, persistence, stuff that honestly most of us wouldn't consider good. And nobody will say is bad publicly just because a person's presence is so big.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, if you just show up, there's so few people that show up in the world. I mean, really, there's so few that show up consistently in the world that in actuality, if you do just show up, you know, I learned this when I was 19 years old. I had a mentor, business mentor of mine, who is probably responsible for me being alive and successful and happy more than anyone else in my life. And he, on a personal level and a professional level, and he told me back then when I was first thinking about starting a business, he said, look, he said, just do one thing. Just do this one thing. He said, when you say you're going to do something, do it. And you will be better than 80% of the businesses out there if you just did that. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. There has been over my career anyway. Mm-hmm. The idea that if you just consistently show up, you will likely far surpass most people. And so in some respects, that's the case. I mean, in some respects, you don't have to be brilliant and you don't have to, you know, have the greatest thing in the world. You just have to show up and go to work. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference.
Well, I think my 1,000-word-a-day habit is a perfect example of that. I think there's a lot of people, many of who have been guests on the show, who are far better writers than I am. And I honestly, the only, I mean, I remember somebody asked, like, you know, I said, the reason I have to write so much is because I'm not that good. Like, that's my theory. I was like, that I can only, you know, accomplish what I do through volume. And that's, you know,
it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I think that I want to comment on that you said, is worth, you know, just repeating. You said, you know, do the things you say you're going to do. And you know what? We've mentioned this before, but that can start with the smallest of things. If you say you're going to respond to an email today, do it. Make things like that a habit. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is those things amplify. Eventually, doing what you say you're going to do just becomes who you are. Like, that's the definition of integrity.
That's exactly right. And your life will be much better for it. Your relationships will be much better for it. And your business will be much better for it. That's been my experience. And that's been the experience of the people that I've worked with. And it seems so simple and so basic. Mm-hmm. And yet, the majority of people won't do what they say they're going to do the majority of the time. And most people won't just show up and be persistent long enough.
Well, let's get into today's topic, because I think for once we're going to actually have a debate on the air between you and I.
Oh, really? All right, let's do it.
According to our you know, pre-recording conversation. So what I want to talk about is something that has actually been really bothering me as I've been watching the web, as I've seen some of my own experiences, as I've seen comments from people. I wrote a little essay the other day called Feed the Ecosystem, and it was about why I don't think that artists can survive on free content. My whole idea behind this, and some musicians commented, a woman named Rachel James. When I look at it, and where this idea came from was a musician actually wrote an article on Medium about this idea that if artists kept creating content for free and we didn't support it financially, at some point they wouldn't be able to create anymore and the world would lose out on great art. And I thought that was a very, very thought-provoking argument. And I thought, you know, it makes a case for why I'm glad I use Spotify instead. I mean, I'll admit it. I downloaded a bunch of free music when Napster first came out, like most people. And now, as somebody who's a creator, I think, okay, yeah, you know what? There's a compelling case for that. I buy books. Even though I get tons of free books, I buy lots of books from authors. Even books I've gotten for free, sometimes I'll buy just to support the person who has a book, because I realize in order for writers to keep writing, we have to keep buying their books. And I don't know. I mean, and to me, and even our show is a perfect example of this. You know, you guys probably heard recently, I added a little tagline at the very end that says, hey, when you support our sponsors, you support our show. You get to listen to our podcast for free, but we fund it via sponsors. And the way that, you know, in order for us to keep doing what we're doing, that's the way you can support us. Effectively, what you're doing is what I call feeding the ecosystem, because I think if you don't feed the ecosystem, things in it won't thrive. So Greg, you apparently disagree with me on this.
Yeah, I think that's total BS.
So
I think that's total BS because I think creators will always create, artists will always create. I think we're mixing two things there. I mean, you know, it's an interesting world that we live in, or I should say it's an interesting, culture that we're in here, at least, where we live in a capitalist system, so everything kind of gets filtered through that lens of marketplace exchange. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that if we don't feed the ecosystems, artists won't be able to continue to create art, that's ridiculous. I mean, art has been created since the beginning of time and always will be.
Sure.
The question is there a sense of responsibility or no sense of responsibility on behalf of the consumer to participate? And I think that's just personal preference. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a sense of responsibility. I mean, I think that you have to decide what your worldview is and how you want to participate. I mean, you can support, you know, you vote with every dollar you spend, and you can choose that vote any way you want to. And I don't think I think if I voted for, take for example somebody that has a musician that's supported by a big label.
Mm-hmm.
If I buy their music, I'm supporting that big label,
sure.
Right? That's a big corporation versus an independent artist who just releases their own record. I don't think I have to choose between those two, and I don't think by choosing one, I'm destroying the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think both can exist in this world, and I think it's a personal preference of mine, and I think both will continue to create music regardless of which one I choose.
Yeah, okay, so agreed that they will continue to create. I don't disagree with that. I think that there's something to be said for that. Like there, you know, that to me, there's absolute value in creating for the sake of creating, whether we make money from our art or not. But, you know, I honestly think that there's a question of if these are people who are making a living from their art. I honestly do. I mean, I feel
then it's the responsibility of the artist. It's not my responsibility as the consumer. It's the responsibility of the artist to do something that compels me to want to pay for it. And it's the responsibility of the artist to be a good enough business person, if they want to make a living from their art,
mm-hmm.
to be a good enough business person to convince me that I should pay for it. I don't think it's my responsibility as the consumer. I think it's their responsibility as the artist.
Sure. Well, I'm not advocating paying for shitty art. Just to be clear, okay?
And I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that you're saying that as a consumer, it's your responsibility, and I don't agree.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I feel that if you are consuming something on a regular basis, like I look at it, you know, I'm like, okay, is it? I do feel some sense of responsibility as a consumer. I think that they should. We're in disagreement here. Like, yeah. I think that, you know, if you're getting an insane amount of value for something, and you've done nothing to support it financially, I mean, there's give and take here, right? That's something you got to think about. Like, I'll share an example, and this is something that the reason I wanted to have this conversation today, of all the things we could talk about, was that, you know, Derek Halpern actually put up an update on his Facebook page where he said somebody who had subscribed to his newsletter basically said, you know, you've provided me a ton of valuable content. You know, everything you've provided to me has been insanely valuable. And now you send me a pitch. I'm unsubscribing from your newsletter.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, wait a minute. It's you can't leech off of the system and not expect somebody to.
That's not leeching. If Derek Halpern puts out free stuff, I'm not a leech for reading it.
I know that.
That's his business practice.
Yeah, but to complain that, hey, suddenly you're actually pitching something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that in order for something to continue to exist, it has to be supported somehow.
Yeah, but that's not my responsibility as a consumer. That's your responsibility as the business person. So let's take James Altucher, for example. I read James' blog posts. That doesn't mean I need to buy something from him.
Mm-hmm.
If he puts out free content like that, that's great content, he's made the choice to do that,
sure.
Not me. So if he makes that choice and I choose to read it, well, then, hey, that's just how it goes. I don't have to do anything to support him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of the goodness of my heart or because I care or because I want to see him succeed, I may support him. But I don't have a sense of responsibility to him or his life or his work. That's on him,
okay.
Not on me.
Well, okay, that's fair. I don't disagree with that. But – so you brought up, you know, the idea of the goodness of your heart of wanting to support him. I mean, I think that to me is really, to me, that's fundamental to making, who knows, maybe that's the answer to how we balance it out. But I'm not somebody who's going to, you know, spend my money on buying shitty art. Like there's nothing that it angers me more than when I spend $15 on a physical book on Amazon and it shows up and I'm like, why did I buy this? That pisses me off. And I'll admit that. But I mean, that's the gamble that we take.
Yeah, and I think that what you're saying is that you have a personal sense of responsibility to give back, to contribute. But I'm saying that that's just your personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
and that art will continue to be created whether you have that opinion or not, or whether a bunch of people have that opinion or not. That was your original premise, that art would stop being created.
Sure.
If we all didn't say to ourselves, out of the goodness of our heart, we have to support this. And I'm simply saying that's not true, that art will continue to be created whether out of the goodness of my heart I support it or not. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it's not my responsibility to care for it. Unless I feel like that's the right thing to do because that's my worldview, but mm-hmm. it's not my responsibility. It's the responsibility of the person on the other end who wants somebody to buy something. It's always on them
to make something compelling.
To convince me that I should participate, not the other way around.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting one. It's funny because I think this is the first time we've actually disagreed on the air.
Well, good. It's about damn time.
I know. Seriously. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not completely convinced. I mean, I am like, yeah, people will create art. My thing is that, you know, I like great art in order to get the stuff that we love. I think that on some level we do have to support it, and we do the kinds of stuff that is high quality, that is amazing, that generally gets consumed and, you know, purchased. In order for that stuff to be created, I think we absolutely have to support it. I think we do have a responsibility. Like, as a moviegoer, I've been thinking a lot about this. You know, our friend Israel Smith in Australia once, you know, I'd asked him about this. He said, man, he's like, yeah, he's like, no, he's like, I don't ever download movies. And I thought, he said, you're a creator. He's like, you shouldn't be even thinking about things like that. And I said, wow, you know, like, do I have an obligation to go watch a movie that sucks or that I think looks awful? No, but I mean, I think there is something to be said for supporting people who have created stuff that's really good.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, me taking this, I want to be really clear here because I don't think I was at the beginning. My personal preference is to support independent artists who are doing great work, who are on their way up. So I just want to make that clear, you know, and my track record shows that. I mean, mm-hmm. I vote with my dollar and I am very careful about where I place that dollar every time. So personally, my personal preference is to support that ecosystem. Otherwise, I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be a part of this podcast, for instance, and I wouldn't be trying to do this daily creative newsletter that I was just talking about, which the whole purpose of that is to support up-and-coming artists or people doing creative things, you know, that don't get a lot of attention. So personally, my personal preference is to support that ecosystem. I'm simply taking the position for the sake of this argument that my personal preference does not mean anything in comparison to whether that art will be created or not.
All right. Well, let's turn this to the listeners. What do you guys think? We definitely want to hear about this because we, you know, this was something that has been really kind of top of mind for me for the last few weeks as I've been watching things. And I think it made sort of a nice tie to really connect the dot between this and the all or nothing internet. So write in, tell us what you think. unmistakablecreative.com/contact. Also, feel free to give us feedback on the show in general. I know a lot of you guys have been writing in about that. If you have topics that you want us to cover. It's been really cool to see, you know, all of you guys interacting with us. We're hearing a lot of your comments and some of you have even written, you know, blog posts in response. Like Scott actually wrote in it that what we read from him was actually an excerpt from his blog post. So, you know, if you write, you know, post in response to the episode, please send them to us. We'd love to include you in this segment. Again, this segment is all about you guys. So, again, unmistakablecreative.com/contact. Greg, anything else to add?
Yeah, care. Just feel free to continue to write in and tell Srini that he's a wimp.
All right. And we'll wrap with that. We'll see you guys next week. Today's episode of The Unmistakable Creative has been brought to you by Selz. That's SELZ.com. If you're looking for a PayPal alternative that helps you to sell digital, physical products and services, check out Selz. Selz allows you to add your products and sell from any site within minutes without any complicated setup or hassle, and is already being used by a ton of Unmistakable Creative listeners. And by FreshBooks. If you're a freelancer or a business owner who's sending invoices to clients on a regular basis, FreshBooks helps you reduce that process to the click of a button. It helps you save time, get paid faster, and track revenue all in one place. Sign up for a free 30-day trial at getfreshbooks.com. And don't forget, they're giving away a birthday cake to one of our listeners every single day. Make sure you enter Unmistakable in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you support our show.
Thanks for listening in on another candid conversation at The Unmistakable Creative. Embrace your inner misfit. express your creative voice. And remember, the goal isn't to live forever, but to create something that will.